Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is May the 13th. I am your host, Garrett, joined with Brad and Wade. Say hi.
Hi.
No.
Fine, don't say
hi. Wow, all right. And guess we're not doing the tripod again.
Guess I'll mute that track and we're done.
Nice.
Yeah.
How you doing, guys?
I am very well. I'm glad it's hump day. Glad the week is
halfway over for you.
Halfway over, and yeah.
Pretty much your day done with this day, so more than halfway.
Well,
over.
You might be.
How about you? How you doing?
I am doing a little bit of a challenging week on my end, but nothing we can't handle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to share with the class, or is this a private matter?
Oh, no, it's when contractors that we rely on don't do their job correctly, it creates a headache for us. We are working on a job that has kind of sat stagnant for quite a few months, waiting on the customer to get some stuff taken care of, and we got back because we were told it was all taken care of, and the cable pullers that the hospital contracted, they left some cables unlabeled, some cables duplicate labeled, and some link cables incorrectly labeled.
Oh, Jesus.
Which so facility is this?
We can talk about that after.
Okay, fair enough. Curiosity has peaked.
Yeah, we've spent the better part of 2 days just trying to sort the cables out.
Nice.
So.
Go team, go team, go.
Yeah,
is there,
no kidding.
Is there a therapist in the hospital?
Not in the hospital, but there's a couple stationed not far from the hospital. Go by the names of Jack, Johnny,
Captain. Senor Patron?
Yes. Maybe.
We are very familiar with those
gentlemen. You probably need to consult them after today, after tomorrow.
I've been consulting them now.
Sorry. I can tell.
Too much? Okay. Very cool. Well, like we said, the week is on the way out. Anything notable over the weekend? Wait.
Not till we get into movies, but what else? I don't think so.
Fair enough. Let's see. Weekend, yeah. Movie, we'll talk about later.
Oh, I did get my webcam, but that's pretty much it.
Yes, Wade's videos may soon feature screen
time.
His
lovely face.
I am sorry for breaking your screens.
Well, we have exploring all the uses of that particular
email.
I meant that in the tasteful way, but
sure.
I'm willing to entertain the not so tasteful.
Please email Bradley Portwood at
gmail.com.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Hey, I tried to leave that last part out. That's
jerks.
Get ready to get trolled because I did that.
Exactly. Thankfully, it's wrong. Anyway.
It is wrong. It's a false email.
Yeah, that is a fake email.
It's a dummy account.
Our weekend was nice, actually. We went out for a nice date night.
I saw you put that suit to use.
I did, seeing as I was forced to buy a suit for the national meeting that I did not really want to. We decided to put it to further use, so we had a dress-up fancy dinner date night. And then, of course, Sunday was Mother's Day. I hope you guys didn't forget.
Oh, shiza.
No, I got that handled.
Okay. At least one of you did.
Came home with a nice bouquet of flowers.
Now we know who's the favorite child.
That's right.
So,
I'm okay with that.
The boys and I went shopping to get my wife gifts for Mother's Day. She got quite the swag. She's into art, so she got a ton of art supplies.
Very
some
cool.
New lightning cables for her iPad and iPhone. Sorry, not her iPad, her new iPhone. She has the 6 Plus now.
Oh, cool.
Does it bend?
It's the new bend model.
Yeah, of course it bends. Any phone that size will bend if you put it under enough pressure.
And side note on that whole bend thing, the Samsung Galaxy 6 has the same, if not worse, bend rates than the iPhone did.
Yeah.
But we're not hearing that much about that, are we?
Oh, well done, Samsung.
Under the radar.
So, next big thing, still following the iPhone.
Yeah. So there was that, and yeah. So that was my weekend.
Very cool. Yeah, Mother's
and
Day.
And ice cream. Ice cream. Sorry.
Took mom to get her nose, her tails done.
Her nose?
Her nose.
Her nose. Got her some rhinoplasty, you know.
Got her a nose.
Something she's been looking forward to for a while. It's fine.
Wow, she healed quickly when I got home.
No kidding.
No, when it took her to go get her nails done, just something a little pampering.
Nails. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. A lot more cost effective, too.
Nose or tails.
So, yeah, that happened.
Apparently, we are mutant hybrids. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Well, I did mention I had been drinking already, so maybe it kind of fits. I don't know. So, yeah, aside from that, we just had a mellow weekend. Sunday, even though it was Mother's Day, is also for us is Game of Thrones Day, which pretty much trumps all other activities. So,
that including happened. Mother's Day.
Including Mother's Day.
And yes. Not limited to.
Yeah. If Christmas happened on Sunday and it was Game of Thrones, it would be Game of Thrones Day with presents, not Christmas with Game of Thrones. That's just how we roll.
Technically, you open the Chris gifts on Chris on the morning, then.
That's right. Then the evening would be free for Game of Thrones.
Exactly. But that's the focus. Okay. Well, enough of that kind of blabble. Let's jump into some movies. So we've got about five to talk about this week. The first one being Pitch Perfect 2. Great synopsis on the internet for this one, by the way.
Oh, I'm
the surprise hit of Pitch Perfect gets sequelized.
Is that even a word?
That's it.
Is that a word? Sequelized?
Apparently not to the program I'm using to type because it does not like it. 72% on that, rated PG-13. If you saw the first one and you like that sort of thing, I'm sure you don't need to be told. I skipped out on the first one and will be skipping out on the second. Number two this week, Mad Max Fury Road. Get this, 99%.
Wow.
Rated R. Featuring the likes of, but not limited to, Tom Hardy, Nicholas Holt, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley. You might know her from Transformers. Charlize Theron and Zoe Kravitz. This post-apocalyptic action adventure.
That was a mouthful.
Fourth movie in the franchise. That's all that the Rotten Tomatoes gives us for that one. And number three, Good Kill. 78% with Ethan Hawke. Zoe Kravitz in that one as well. In the shadowy world of drone warfare, combat unfolds like a video game, only with real lives at stake. After six tours of duty, Air Force pilot Tom Egan yearns to get back into the cockpit of a real plane, but he now fights the Taliban from an air-conditioned box in the Las Vegas desert. When he and his crew start taking orders directly from the CIA, the stakes are raised. Egan's nerves and relationship with his wife begin to unravel, revealing the psychological toll drone pilots endure as they witness essentially the aftermath of their fighting against insurgents. So again, 72% of that, kind of interesting to me. I'd be open to seeing that.
It does sound a little interesting. I'm not sure if I want to see it or if I'll wait for the DVD, but yeah. It does sound interesting.
I'll wait.
I'm intrigued. I'll leave it there.
Yep.
I like Ethan Hawke. He's kind of flies under the radar with a lot of stuff, but he pops up here and there. So yeah, maybe I'll pull myself away and go see that. Number four, Slow West, 90%, rated R. This is with Michael Fassbender. You might know from X-Men. And Rory McCain, who we know as Game of Thrones. He played the Hound. In the end of the 19th century, 16-year-old Jay Cavendish journeys across the American frontier in search of a woman he loves. He is joined by Silas, a mysterious traveler, and hotly pushed by an outlaw along the way. So kind of a frontier-y fantasy, whatever.
Hotly pushed.
That's what I think it said. Honestly, I was mirror typing that pretty quick, so it could be.
Hotly pursued, maybe, but.
It could have been that. It could be pursued, and my fingers typed pushed. I don't know.
Hotly pushed.
90% on that, though.
They had invented copy and paste.
Well, the problem with copy and paste is I don't retain what's there.
At least
if I'm reading it and typing it, I have some retention and know what's coming.
Yeah, but apparently you still don't retain.
Shut up. You want to do movies?
No.
I didn't think so. Shut your mouth.
Oh, girls.
Number 5, I'll see you in my dreams.
Oh, sorry.
What?
Nothing.
That's what I thought.
Impression.
Can I finish the last movie so we can talk about more movies?
You can try.
I'll throw this water on you. So I'll see you in my dreams, 92%, rated PG-13. This is Sam Elliott and Blythe Danner and Martin Starr. Carol is a retired school teacher and a longtime widow in her 70s. She enjoys the tranquil routine, playing cards with close friends, keeping up her garden, and relaxing with a glass of wine. I mean, who doesn't, really? When her beloved dog dies, there's a mournful vacuum that draws new experiences and attachments into her world. She forges a friendship with her pool guy, I bet she does, and allows a pal to drag her to a speed dating shindig. And then there's the gravely voiced, exuberant gentleman, Bill, who comes out of nowhere. So a little bit more of a lovey-dovey movie there for the lovey-dovey viewers. I will pass.
How lovely.
I'll stick to Game of Thrones.
So rough plans for me this weekend. I will most likely see Mad Max. I never saw the Mel Gibson versions, so I'll come into a little bit raw. But sounds like with the critics and what I'm seeing, it appears to be very entertaining.
Cool.
Sounds like a fun ride.
I have no movie plans.
Fair enough. So speaking of movies, Wade,
Tell
the world what we did.
We saw the Avengers.
We did see the Avengers.
2, Age of Ultron.
Yes, that one.
Not a replay of 1.
No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is a replay of 1.
No.
Okay.
Do
go on.
I mean, it's pretty much what you expect it to be. You're going to get all the cast that you want. No rebranding here in terms of actors. Everybody who we associated with Avengers 1 is in Avengers 2. So right out of the gate, they had a pretty comedic interaction that they kind of drug through the entire movie in terms of foul language and rather the lack thereof, which was pretty well done.
Yeah, but this kind of sucks for Captain America. He got, a talking to throughout the entire movie about him censoring.
He got to be the butt of this joke the entire movie long, but it was pretty.
But yet, Iron Man Tony Stark makes a diabolical computer and no one, like, hey, created a monstrous computer. You know, that didn't get anything for that.
He got some grief for it. It wasn't as constant as Captain's grief, but he got grief for it. We didn't realize until the end of the movie that it's James Spader who did the voice of Ultron.
Nice.
As talked before, we do Paul Bettany, the voice of Jarvis, does get an on-screen role in this movie, which is cool.
It was great how well-spoken Ultron was, though.
Yeah, he's not, the way they did Ultron, he's definitely not machine. You know, he's not that monotone computer. He's got inflection and sarcasm and very, you know, we think of AI right now as being a monotone computer that can learn and adapt.
Yeah, you're basically
whereas
thinking,
this AI has full-on personality.
You're basically thinking, welcome, sir,
yeah,
kind of thing. But Ultron wasn't very well-spoken. I mean, even there was the part where he was trying to take off in the bird. I forget what
at the very end of the movie.
And Hulk jumps in and that, Oh, spoiler for the love alert. Of God. Jeez.
God, why don't you give away the whole movie?
That's one line. Shush up. Was quite funny considering where you've received where it's coming from.
Yeah. It's really entertaining. Obviously, if you're not a Marvel fan, I don't know if this is the movie that will make you one. But if you've been following this whole movie franchise deal that Marvel has done very well, I might add, you don't need us telling you to go see it.
But actually, the best part that was out of the movie was there was an interview with the woman who played the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, she's an Olsen.
Yep. She was remarking on when she was around with other people doing the fight scenes.
Okay.
And where people were doing, you know, kind of direct combat. And she's just like standing there waving her arms around because they edited in the effect, you know, afterwards. So she's just like, whoo, whoo, and there's Hemsworth waving his hammer and Tony, you know, pointing his hands at things. But she's just like,
fairies and sparkly things.
There's a picture of, I think, she's sitting underneath, I don't know what, I forget what part, but she was underneath, supposedly underneath something in the movie where she's got her hands up.
Yep.
And the guy, is it Tom Hardy? No, who plays Hawkeye?
Oh God, what's his name? Oh wow, I should be shot.
We both
Born, who Born, the Born movie. I don't know. Hawkeye. Okay, great.
It's like, he doesn't look particularly impressed because she's just standing away with her arms up just with no particle effects going on.
Yeah.
It was quite
it's
funny.
It's all done in post, ladies and gentlemen. The magic of post.
Isn't it amazing what they can do?
So you have not seen this yet, correct?
I have not seen this, nor have I...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't remember if I've seen the first one.
Really?
I think I've seen the first one. I'm not a big Marvel fan.
Kirby, get the
I was
lasso.
Never a big Marvel fan prior to these movies, but they're so well done. Jeremy Renner, by the way, Hawkeye.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we
Shoot
go.
Shoot us all, why don't you?
But these movies and how they all intertwine and how they relate to each other and how just well they've been done. I am a fan. As of late.
I am surprised to see how many people still got up and walked out of the theater when the credits rolled.
Right? So it's a well-known fact that Marvel always does a little tidbit scene at the end of the flashy credits before the rolling credits.
This was actually done in with Pirates of the Caribbean first, wasn't it?
It might have been. But all the Marvel movies have done it to some degree.
Yep.
And a good 3/4 of the theater was empty by the time this season came up. It's like, this scene came up. It's like, what are you people doing? Granted, it was like a 30-second, if that, clip, but still a clip.
I don't always do it, but I actually like to stay through all the credits because every now and then a studio will put in a little something extra. Partway through the credits or at the end of the credits, even the rolling credits.
Oh, I love when they do the like the bloopers during the rolling credits.
Oh, those always are the
best. Oh yeah, that's awesome.
That's the best. I love movie bloopers. I love any show bloopers or even just clips where the actors need to just
vent.
Vent a little bit off camera, but they have the cameras rolling anyway. Those are awesome.
So, off topic slightly, but while we're on this way, one of my favorites is animated movie bloopers. Because aren't any.
Yeah, they create animated movies, they have to create
jokes and made this. I love it.
Now, I like the ones like they did it in Shrek where somebody, they did Donkey.
Was about to ask.
Somebody had tweaked a variable and Donkey looked like a chia pet.
Nice.
Now, that wasn't necessarily planned. It wasn't a planned blooper. It was a development hiccup. But it was hilarious when they showed that picture, and it was just a...
This anthropomorphous blob was
wandering down the stairs. Yeah, it was a furry, fuzzy blob in the screen. It had, like, no definition because all the hair was, like, 50 times longer than it should have been.
Nice.
It was really funny. But, yeah, all the animated bloopers that they have to create and cast and write and react to. Yeah, it's a whole nother process.
The one that really grabbed my attention and made me start looking for it was at the end of A Bug's Life.
Oh, was there some of Bug's Life? I think they did it with Toy Story too.
There were some awesome ones at the end of A Bug's Life.
One of the Toy Story movies, they had a bunch of them. I think it may have been the second one, but I'm not positive.
Mm. Love animated bloopers.
Yeah, bloopers are great.
Well, I know what I'm doing tonight. Animated bloopers on YouTube. All right.
There you go. All right. With that, let's jump into some news.
So we start off tonight with some good news.
Woo-hoo!
I like good news. It's about rare time. We get to cover it. Well, I suppose we could do more, but there's so much other stuff to... Anyway, good news. The good news this time comes in the form of good news for Windows Mobile, which, if you've ever had the opportunity to take a look at, is actually a really, really decent mobile operating platform. Its big Achilles heel is the fact that nobody makes apps for it.
That's a pretty big Achilles heel.
It is a massive Achilles heel. So, what to do about this? Well,
buy Android. Buy
Android. Rather than try to win over developers, Microsoft has decided to go the route of making it easy for developers. And how this takes place is they have been working very secretly on a, obviously, behind-the-scenes project that will create a runtime that is the core library, the backend that lets an app run on Windows Mobile that will emulate both Android and iOS.
Interesting.
Which sounds means, like, more like pirating to me.
Well, no. So all they're doing is figuring out when a programmer does this, what does iOS do? When a programmer does this, what does iOS do? And they're recreating that. They're not stealing anything.
So are they essentially allowing someone who's creating an app for iOS to be able to port it into the Windows situation with minimal recoding?
Yes.
Assuming they want to make it available for Windows. It's not Windows going and taking the apps. Correct. It's just saying, hey, if you want to upload it to our system, you don't really have to do anything different. Just upload it.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, I figured that out all by myself.
Good.
Excuse me. Yay! Get some ice. He's steaming.
I am a little bit. It's a little warm in here.
Can you deflate his ego just slightly? There we go.
Yeah, okay. Where was the pin?
So Android is going to be much easier to handle with it being open source and everything. Essentially, for developers, there won't be a whole lot to do. Android apps will just start running natively on Windows Mobile. For iOS, it's not quite so easy, seeing as Apple has a very tight stranglehold, as always. So it won't be a direct install an Android app and go. It will be a case of the developer will need to deliberately, it's called recompile, essentially recreate from the same code targeting Windows instead of iOS, but they won't have to change much of anything.
iOS or Android?
iOS.
Okay, you kind of went back on yourself a little bit there. So,
right. So let me clarify. So yes, Android developers, as I understand it, and this is still developing, it's a developing story, but Android developers won't have to do anything. The app that they create for Android will load and run on Windows Mobile.
Okay.
For iOS developers, for iPhone, iPad, they will have to recreate their app for Windows Mobile, but it will be a minimal process because it will have all the back-end stuff that it needs.
Got it.
So, good news for Windows Mobile users. They might be getting access to millions of apps, potentially. It will be interesting to see how developers react and start using it.
And good news for the developers themselves, because it opens them up to more customers.
Absolutely.
With minimal effort on the front end.
I think this is great all around. Now both people that have Windows Mobile phones can get apps.
Woohoo! All two of them.
All
Bill
two
Gates
of them.
Bill Gates and whoever else.
Elon Musk.
Bill Gates and Paul Thurrott.
There you go. Well, cool. Oh, that is exciting. I know, like right now, even with the iPhone to Android world, we have an iPad in the house and we have a Galaxy Tab in the house, and even a big company like ABC Broadcasting, their app does not work really at all for Android. Even though they have it available, you can download it. It doesn't really work. It won't let you log in. I know that lately I've had issues with HBO Go where it won't let me log in. Mm-hmm. It tries to change my username into an email address that's not valid and then doesn't recognize the username.
Boo.
So that's on the iPad and also my phone, my Android phone. So, I mean, hopefully the app stuff gets worked out. Making it more available with minimal tweaks is obviously a good sign, and we just keep growing, I suppose.
It's exciting.
It is.
All joking aside, I am excited for Microsoft and Windows Mobile users. Like I said, to take a look at it, I've never, in full disclosure, I've never owned a Windows Mobile phone of the modern variant. I've only played with it in the store, but it looks good. I mean, they've done a nice job. It looks like a decent platform. It's just lacking apps, and you know, this has the opportunity to fix that.
There we go.
All right. Well, jumping from something Bradley was or is excited about to something that I am excited about, the Oculus Rift. The virtual reality headset that was picked up by Facebook, then dropped by Mojang, the developers of developers of Minecraft, which then re-picked up by Facebook. And now finally has a release date. Well, release timeline. Slated for
at least we have a timeline.
Yeah,
now.
Slated for the first quarter of 2006 at somewhere below the $400 mark.
I hope that's 2016.
It's 2016.
Yeah. There we go.
It's coming out 9 years ago.
You back have to go to the future.
Back, yeah. Sorry, 2016. My apologies. The first quarter of 2016. Somewhere
available
below,
soon to everybody with a time machine.
Somewhere below the $400 mark, which is, considering what this product has, how do I say this, has going for it, what it could be, that's surprisingly good. I mean,
you know, my first thought was not discussed on this one. I'm agreeing with you on that. I don't think I'll be buying one. I think that's a little too rich for my pocket. But knowing what it's supposed to do,
yeah,
I don't think
there.
That's an unreasonable price to ask for it.
Yeah,
that's fair. It's all going to depend on what is it going to work with, who's working on stuff for it, because otherwise it could be a $400 paperweight.
Exactly.
I definitely see a resurgence of the horror game market because of
plausible.
The way this works into it, and first-person shooters as well, because you have that still first-person, you know, viewpoint.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. That could be interesting.
Very well.
And it's interesting that may lead into some competition, because I do believe the HTC Void is slated for the holiday season of this year.
Yeah, I mean, and with this technology, the first one to get to market is going to be the one to capitalize on it.
I'm excited by this. I can't wait to make friends with somebody that buys one.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a novel way to interact with games. No, you're fine.
I've seen plenty of games that were just, you know, basically indie projects using the Oculus Rift through, well, other YouTubers. And I'm really, really excited to see what may come out when some big names get behind it.
When some real money is being thrown at the project?
Yeah. When EA or Activision, you know, say, okay, let's see what this thing can do.
Yeah. Minecraft is cool. Yeah. I think that will be interesting. But when you've got the likes of Call of Duty or, other
other or some other game first, that's out there.
Other big name first person shooters are what's going to put it on the map. You know, when Valve supports it.
Holy crap! So I just got a mind vision for a first person Assassin's Creed.
I was thinking about that when we were talking about it, but I'm not sure how beneficial that'll be. It's tough. I mean, we've talked about the benefits of how these systems will work, or the limitations too of the being able to look when you look, how much is going to be rendered automatically, so there's limited lag and downtime to see what you want to see. It'll be interesting how these products truly perform when you start throwing some pretty heavy content down the pipe.
Well, they got
agreed.
They had four plus years to get it all smoothed out.
They better.
Yeah, knowing this industry.
Yeah, you're living on the edge right there.
It's the best way to get the best view.
So, to keep on the theme of being cautious before you go stand in line, many of our brethren have fallen victim to the Apple Watch.
Yeah, wait.
Exactly.
It now burrows into your wrist.
So, what is involved? We all have a decent understanding of what the Apple Watch can do for you, but what's the point? An article by one of the tech guys, I believe this is through Huffington Post, wearable tech, it can free us from being glued to our smartphones, but now we're checking our wrists every 10 seconds. Is that really a benefit? We're surrounding ourselves by more and more pieces of technology, and we're not taking into consideration the world around us. There's been all sorts of video ads about, put the phone down and look up at the world. Maybe you might, you could be missing out on something special. With the watch, and this goes for not just the Apple Watch, but pretty much smartwatches across the board. The fact that it has the notification system, or you can turn that off if you want. But if you're turning that off, you have a smartwatch to, tell time and maybe track health factors. So maybe ask yourself why you're getting a smartwatch in the first place. Some potential stigmas could fall in line with a smartwatch. You could be seen as a jerk with bad manners who has to look at texts all the time. Or you could be seen as that same jerk who has to look at texts so much that he had to make it that much easier to view them by putting them on your wrist for easier access. But with people of today, we all have our smartphones. They're all pretty much with us all the time. Yet we still feel or interact with people who you may send a message to, and it may be a couple hours before you hear back. With the Apple Watch, you know that they're getting a vibration on the back of their hand, or their wrist rather, and you still may not get an answer back for a couple hours. So what does that tell you about that person? Are they really that busy that they can't send a 5-second text, or is there something else going on there? The other concern, we all have experienced the phantom phone vibrations in our pocket. We think we got a message, but there's nothing there. What happens when your wrist starts vibrating for no reason? You start getting little pings when there's no pings to be seen. The phantom vibration. Business Insider also published a breakup letter with the Apple Watch, expressing one hopeful user's frustrations with the product. And if you're one who checks their messages every 3 seconds, you might fall under a group where people feel that you're checking the time and not for messages. Do you have somewhere better you need to be? Somewhere else you need to be? You don't want to be where you are now. You're essentially ignoring those around you even more than you already are. We all know the Apple Watch battery is not great, but what is it doing to your phone's battery? It's connecting to your phone via Bluetooth, constant connected. That hinders the phone as well. But really, ultimately, you have to ask yourself, why are you getting an Apple Watch? How does it benefit you? And what might you be giving up?
Okay, so where to start?
Okay, and I think we're done with the podcast. We're done.
Where to start? Yeah, if you guys want to go get drinks or... So neither of you have smartwatches.
Correct.
I do.
Sucker.
Oh, okay. Lodged up. But he was checking his watch while that whole speech was going on. He's like, God, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, right. No, I didn't hear half of that stuff because texts were coming in. So here's the
phantom texts.
There's a phantom text.
There were a couple phantom texts. Sorry, guys. So here's the thing. From an actual user. Not an Apple Watch. Full disclaimer here. I do have a Pebble Steel. Not an Apple Watch. I do not plan on buying this generation of Apple Watch. I think it is a first generation, you know? Let them clean up some of the bugs. I think there are some neat features, but it's not ready for me. That being said, by default, a smartwatch is a pain in the rear end. Okay?
But there a very big but coming.
But
see, there it was.
Quite massive, in there fact.
Was. That was a massive butt.
When you're going backwards. Going backwards, you need a beep, beep, beep.
That's such a big butt, you need a backup sensor.
Anyhow. It's all about triage. You don't want your watch duplicating the notifications on your phone. That's nuts. It is distracting. It is annoying. What you want to do is go through and start triaging. What are the notifications that are critical for you to have right away? Everything else, turn off. Right?
Sure.
So there are people I want to know when they message me. There are other things. Facebook notifications, I don't care. It can come up with the little notification on my phone.
You have Facebook
I will get
message.
To it when I can.
Yep.
So initially it's annoying. But you have to go through and start triaging what do you actually want to see, what's important to you. As far as battery life, I haven't noticed that big of a hit on my phone. There's two schools of thought on this. Obviously, the Bluetooth is always active. That's going to use some battery.
Yes.
But the flip side to that is, if you send me a message that I just need to read and it's coming up on my phone or on my watch, well, now I've just saved my battery on my phone from not having to turn it on because I just read it on my watch.
And so there's a balance effect. Yeah, which one's the bigger drain? Obviously, the screen being on's a massive drain. That's no secret. So out of all the times that you view a message on your watch versus the constant Bluetooth connection, does it wash? Does it end up being a wash from battery drain or not?
It ends up being mostly a wash with a slight... obviously, this is dependent on your usage habits.
Frequency,
right. For me, it's a wash with a very slight skew to the battery saving side.
Okay.
I end up with a little bit more battery, I feel.
It's a mileage may vary thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
You know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it very much is.
Results may vary. I think it was a better term.
I like the mileage one better.
I've heard it both ways.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah. So, I'm not planning to buy an Apple Watch. Like I said, it's very much first-gen hardware. It needs to mature. I think it shows promise. I don't think we should dismiss the entire category, if you'll pardon the term, out of hand.
Pun intended.
Yes, very much intended. What you have to weigh up is it for you? It is a luxury, no doubt about it. It is not an everybody tech, no doubt about that. Does it make sense for you and the way you approach tech? Yes or no? No, in this case, is it perfectly acceptable answer.
I agree. One thing that I thought of multiple times when I was reading this article, actually, is that the article was operating under the assumption that once you put the watch on, you are never taking it off again.
It's
like a lot of the points it made was operating as if this was a surgically implanted device that you could not escape.
Oh, you didn't. Sorry. I probably should have covered that. With the Apple Watch, it actually bonds to you.
Oh, so it's like that watch in Transformers.
Yeah, once you put it on, it like
it integrates into your nervous system and just
So I mean, the article touched base on
that was sarcasm, everyone.
This was sarcasm. If you think that, you are naive.
you get a matching pair. They become cuffs when you start pirating.
That feature is to be announced at WWDC this year. It's coming in the Apple Watch Air 2.
That's right.
Sorry, that, I just had to do that one.
Now, there was a call out to Steve Jobs in saying that he was big on meditation and, you know, putting his devices aside and disconnecting, even for a short period of time, minutes, an hour maybe. And they were talking about how, well, with the Apple Watch, you can't do that. Right. You can't unbuckle the thing and put it on your desk for a while. Really?
Yeah. Interesting thing. It comes off.
Yeah. So, I mean, I realize a lot of things I said were very one-sided, but multiple things that I, when I realized while reading and taking notes on this article was, it's not a binding contract. You can set it down. You can leave it wherever. You know, you're not.
Well, you don't want to leave it wherever. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah, well.
Most things.
We got a guy we work with who bought one, and after a week or so, he says, I'm over it. Big deal. And he's one who didn't realize what he was getting it for, and maybe it never was for him, but he didn't realize that until after he bought it and had it for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know it's not for me because I don't get a lot of texts throughout the day. So there's no real need for me to be like, oh, what was that? I'd be like, oh.
Well, that's the flip side. Maybe if you get too many texts or notifications during the day, you don't want one either.
Yeah.
Well, the exact opposite reasons. You don't want that constant buzzing on your wrist.
I think this would be more useful for someone who, how do I say it? More like medical personnel, where it'd be like, you're needed for surgery. You know, and say a doctor, a surgeon.
That's actually not a horrible idea.
And it said, you know, boom, there's a, you know, a person coming in from a car crash. We need you in surgery now.
That's really not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah.
You know, paramedics.
I mean, our company is dealing with, we have an iPad product that's not necessarily as fully fleshed out as they want it to be. But if there's iPads within the hospital, they can access patient data through the iPad wherever they are. Expand that to the watch. Granted, the battery life of the Apple Watch isn't the greatest. Maybe you go with a different product. But that's something to be mindful of.
You know, when
I think there is a market for it. To dismiss it out of hand, I think, is very short-sighted. Is it for everybody? Absolutely not.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think it'd be good for people with time-sensitive jobs. I mean, really time-sensitive jobs.
Yeah. Yes. That's fair to say. It's a good point.
Yep. And, you know, for the way I work, it's helpful to have. I can triage. I have triaged my notifications so I don't get everything on my phone, on my watch. And then from there, now that I have it in use, I can triage further. So while I am working and my hands are busy, you know, maybe I've got parts in one hand and a tool in the other, and I'm installing or I'm connecting cables, or both hands are busy, and a notification comes in that I have decided is important enough to go to my watch, I can just roll my wrist and look at what it is and make that decision within seconds. Is this important enough for me to put everything down and deal with, or can it wait?
But if you had Google Glass, you wouldn't have to turn your wrist over.
Very Be-doot. True.
Honey, get milk.
Stupid message. I'm in Texas. She's in Indiana.
Voices in my head.
Make it stop.
You no, know that's where
to get obviously to a this point. Article was one-sided, and that's not that doesn't totally coincide with my overall view. It coincides with my personal view of this product is not for me. But I am not so naive to think that just because it's not for me means that it's not for everybody. Obviously, that's not the case.
Sure.
Apple Watch, if it's for you, go get it. If it's not, that's fine too.
It's Yay. Okay. My recommendation is wait for next year's.
There you go. Then you can get this year's one at a discount.
I don't want this year's.
Whatever.
Even at a discount.
Moving on. Next
Moving
topic.
Moving on. More good news.
Woohoo!
Yay! A ruling this week by the Second Circuit Court of Appeals has found that the NSA's bulk phone record spying program, drumroll please, is illegal.
Woo! So that big data facility they're building in, like, the middle of nowhere is...
Utah is, so waste of money, guys. Shut it down. I'm sure they will repurpose it for other
things.
I'm
sure they will turn it into an internet storage hub or something. They'll rent out servers for cloud storage.
Yeah, there you go. Lease it to Dropbox.
That's right.
Where we will be happy to keep an eye on your data. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
So here's the lowdown. The TLDR from the ruling. Number one. When Congress did authorize the NSA to gather, quote, relevant, unquote, information, and to do so for a, quote, investigation, unquote, they did not mean gather everything and store it forever just in case one day it becomes relevant.
Yeah, that's kind of Minority Report situation.
Yeah. Number two, now that this has been found to be illegal, this is going to be a big one, having your data collected by the NSA gives you the right to sue them.
Nice.
Someone's going to take advantage of that.
Can you say class action? Number three.
Yeehaw.
Class metadata. Action done.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been said. Metadata is sensitive information, and the NSA cannot argue that its mass spying is harmless. For example, the argument that they use that, well, we don't actually know what you said on the phone call. Okay, the fact that you didn't know what I said to the suicide hotline doesn't mean you didn't know I called them.
Sure.
The fact that you're gathering the metadata is still leaking a lot of information.
You still know I called the suicide hotline.
Exactly.
Which makes me even more paranoid and more suicidal.
Yes.
Jeez. There are people watching.
Sorry, I just kind of saw that conjunction and just had to roll with it.
Number four. The judges have concerns about the constitutionality. They didn't go so far as to rule it unconstitutional because there are other pending lawsuits challenging that. But they expressed concerns. And number five, and this is another big one, I think. One of the judges on the panel added to the findings that the government should not have secret laws. The government argued that its interpretation of the surveillance laws was a secret, and the court essentially spanked them for it, saying that laws that are shrouded in secrecy lacked legitimacy. This is huge!
Yeah, that's a big old middle finger to sub-government agencies that have been operating with their get-away-with-anything badge.
So, this is the Second Circuit. I imagine it is going to be appealed to the Supreme Court. So we're not out of the woods by a long shot. But I think this is a massive step in the right direction where a panel of judges took a look at what they were doing and went, whoa, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to say that just because they ruled this doesn't change anything today, so to speak, because it is going beyond. But the government... certain areas of the government has recognized that other government areas are not necessarily operating with the best integrity.
But in hearing this, you know, I still have that thought in the back of my mind that the NSA is, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, we'll get rid of the secret laws. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more. Yeah, just because they say it's going to be happened doesn't mean it actually happens. I mean, come on, we know the NSA by now. Well, at least we think we do.
Well, we know part of it. No, I agree with you. I think, and I've been saying this for a while now, even if it was completely outlawed and defunded and removed from the books, and they've already lied. They don't care. They're going to do whatever the heck they want to do.
Yeah, unless they're formally, like, disband.
And they're not going to do that.
Nope. They've invested because too much money in it.
The NSA is actually part of the military.
It's military, not CIA?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
To give you an actually good description of it, through the Avengers, the government right now is pretty much S.H.I.E.L.D., while Hydra is that cell underneath it, which would be the NSA.
Potentially.
Secret gathering, information hoarding system waiting for its
time to strike.
Yeah.
Further good news, though, while we're still on this vein, I mean, it's continuing the same story. In a landslide...
you got it, too. Your mouth doesn't work either.
Landslide.
Shut them down. Reboot.
Sorry. Excuse me. All right. And a landslide move. Today, May 13th, the U.S. House voted to pass what is being... called the USA Freedom Act, which is seeking to clarify and shut down portions of the NSA's domestic spying program.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So, again, we're not done. It's going to the Senate now. They haven't voted on it yet, but the House approved it. 338 votes to 88.
So it was close.
Couple votes off.
Yeah.
No, this is huge.
That's a big swing.
A little bit of clarification, the bill is not perfect. This is not as clear as many would like to see, myself included, in conjunction with the EFF, our friends at the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Yes, we've talked about them.
You know, it's kind of divided the community. It's not what it should be. However, given what we've had, there are quite a few taking the position of, hey, let's get this. It's a start. It's a stepping stone. Is it perfect? No. Does it do everything we would like to see? No. But it reins them in more than not at all.
Sure.
And, you know, if we can get this on the books, then maybe we can start working on something else. Meanwhile, Section 215 of the Patriot Act is set to expire. Please, please get in touch with your congressperson and tell them you do not want them to renew it. Section 215 is where the NSA draws a lot of its authority for doing the bulk surveillance. Again, like Wade pointed out, will they actually stop? Probably not. But we can at least force them to not be legitimate and to get spanked every time they get caught violating it. So Patriot Act 215 set to expire very, very soon in the next couple weeks. Please get your senator to vote not to extend it.
Remember, speaking about, you know, will they be able to keep doing it? I'd like to reference one of our old episodes. Remember the used up space on those new hard drives?
Yeah.
There's the darkness dredged up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'm in the process of building a new computer, thanks for that.
That new hard drive? Don't trust it.
1,000 gigs?
That fills me with warm and fuzzy thoughts.
Doesn't it, though?
It does.
Will we ever truly recover from what they've done? The damage that they've done internationally as well as domestically. I don't know that where the tech sector is going to fully recover. I don't know that it will be as bad as it could have been, but I don't know that we'll completely recover. There are plenty of countries overseas now that are seeking to domestically, for them, start replacing stuff that they would normally have bought from U.S. tech companies.
Yeah, that hurts.
That does hurt.
Yeah, and you want to think where how our depression is going. Thanks.
Yep. Yep. The big one being China, which is not insignificant. I mean, we're talking about a nation of over a billion. I had to get a drink in there somewhere.
There you go.
over a billion people. You know, they are now in the process of creating their own Cisco, their own Dropbox, their own version of pretty much everything so that they no longer have to use U.S. tech companies.
Smart
that's
on
gonna
them.
That's going to hurt.
But that's going to hurt us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had the ability, I'd do the same thing. You know,
bypass
the problem areas, even if it's just a perceived problem and not a, you know, you're not actually seeing any issue from it, but because you think there could be,
yep.
The right thing to do is to cut out that concern.
Well, and what Brad said, they're doing triage.
Yep.
The loss of credibility is going to be far-reaching.
What was that statement? Trust is hard to build and easily destroyed?
Yes.
Something like that.
They've definitely done
it. Hard to maintain, I think it was.
Sure. Get your quotes right.
It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
I just died a little inside. With that, we invite our listeners to join us at Facebook and at Twitter. We are at Twitter at AbundanceKnot, facebook.com/AbundanceKnot. For many, many updates of what we're up to, whether it's podcasts, whether it's videos, whether it's, you know, just keeping tabs. Come join us and let us know what you think about this episode and more.
Don't forget YouTube. You can still find us there.
We definitely got videos posting on the daily. So check us out. Links are everywhere.
With that, I think that's a good place to leave it for the week. And join us again next week when we do it all again.
We'll see you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.